So my subject this morning is a godly father. Here in our text, Jesus told of a story of how a rich man had two sons. One son was content to help his father until the father passed away and then inherit his portion of the estate. The other son, however, wanted his portion of the estate immediately. He goes on to tell how the father gave it to him and how the son went into the city and squandered it all on a good time. He ended up broke and hungry, working in a pigsty just to stay enough, you know, just to have enough food to eat. Jesus tells how the boy finally came to his senses and decided to come home and apologize to his father and see if his father would still love him enough to let him work on the farm as a hired hand. I don't know if we fully realize what all this verse says. It says, his father saw the boy while he was still along the way. That tells us that the father had a loving heart for his son. He stood watch for his son, always hoping to see him come home where he belongs. It says that when he saw him, the father ran to him and hugged and kissed him. In those days, a leader of the clan would never show such earthly emotions. The father would normally have waited on the son to come to him, but in this verse, the father loved and missed his son so much that he ran to him when he got there. He hugged and kissed his son. Many say this father represents God, and the love he has for his son represents the love that God has for us. When we finally come back to him through Jesus. They say that God has been waiting all this time, wanting us to return to him. And when he sees us coming, he rejoices with the angels in heaven. Today we are illustrating this story to show how fathers love their children and are always there for them. Here are some chilling statistics about the influence our world has over our children. There are 168 hours in the week. How does your son or your children spend them? The public school system have your children for at least 35 hours. The TV, which is produced by a worldly but not godly, has your child's attention for 43 hours. Games, which are produced by the same people, have your child for another 22 hours. I don't believe that. I think it's more. But average dads only spend 7.5 minutes a week with his children on a one-on-one time. It would seem that with all these figures, fathers is headed either for a glorious revival or a gory demise. I know that statistics and percentages indicate a general direction of things, and I agree that family life in general in this world is having the hardest time ever. But I believe the power and the capacity of a loving God, of a faithful God, of our Father, who happens to be God. As we focus on Father's Day this morning, I'm going to use this passage in Scripture to explain what being a father really is. F, forgiven. In verse 22, the father tells his servant, "Hurry, bring the best clothes and put them on him. Also, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet." The father was forgiven. The son had turned his back on his father, yet the father loved him enough to forgive him. He ordered the very best clothes to put on this young boy and sandals on his feet, along with a ring on his finger. The father wanted the boy to be welcomed back in style, in love, in forgiving grace. That is what our Heavenly Father wants to do for us. He wants us to come back to him, and when we do, he will welcome us with loves that hugs and kisses are made of. And he will bless our eternal soul with all the finest things he has to offer. There are too many times when we men live up to the earthly image, we are very slow to forgive. We are even slower to let loose the anger when we feel someone wronged us. This son wronged his father, but his father quickly forgave him. His father treasured the relationship more than he did the earthly pride. God wants us to value relationships and to make the effort to maintain them instead of discarding them whenever there's a hurt or a conflict. In fact, Christ urges us to go even further. He said, Blessed are the peacemakers. Making peace is something we have to do. It is an act that we initiate. The first thing to notice about good fathering is that it starts with being forgiven. No matter what the age of your child or how long ago it was that your child did whatever they did, something they should not have done, they need to hear from the lips that you forgive them and that you will still love and care for them. A, available. In verse 31, the father tells the brother who stayed home, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." It was unheard of for any son, especially the younger one, to come and ask for his inheritance in advance. But the fact that he did so tells us that he had a close relationship, an open relationship with his father to begin with. The father could have legally disowned the son and refused him any inheritance at all, but he didn't. I believe this father had the kind of relationship with his son that only an available father could have. And when he says to the eldest son, "You are always with me," that shows that he was available for that son as well. When we become fathers, we should become focused on the child God has so graciously given us to watch over. T for tender. Verse 20 tells us how the father felt towards the wayward son. While the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt sorry for his son. If no other message comes from this story, we should see the tenderness of the father towards his son. Tenderness isn't something men are generally known for, but it is so important that we should feel it, that Jesus makes it a point to tell us that this is how the father felt. Your version of the Bible might read compassion, but the feeling is the same. While we are on the subject of tenderness, let me tell you something I hope you already know. It is prevalent in our society for men to act as if they have no feelings. We have to be rough and tough and act like nothing bothers us. That is what the world wants for us, but it isn't what God wants for us. God wants us to feel great compassion with our hearts. I don't care how old, how young your children are. Men, you need to hug them and love them. Take your son or daughter out to dinner, just the two of you. You will never realize how important that is to them. That is the moment they will cherish for the rest of their lives. Call them some night, just for no reason, just to tell them that you love them. You will never know how many hurts and disappointments that will cover up. You will never know how much that will do for your relationship with your children. H for humble. Verse 28 shows that the father didn't just favor the youngest son. The oldest son was angry and would not go into feast. So his father went out and begged him to come in. Now, let's be honest. If we had two kids and one had stayed home to help around the house, but the other left the way the younger son did, how would we react? if he came home broke. Most of us would not have lavished all kinds of love, forgiveness, and blessings upon wayward son, would you? But there is something else we would not do neither. If the child that stayed home got mad and went outside wanting nothing to do with the party, what would we do? Very few of us would go out and humbly beg him to come back in and be a part of the family. But this father went outside and with his heart full of loving humility begged him to come back in. But that's the difference between a good father and a great father. Leonard Bernstein, the conductor of the New York Philharmonic, once said, "The most difficult instrument to play was the second fiddle." But to be a loving father, we have to play the second fiddle. Don't we? And that's a question for the fathers. We have to make sure that the focus is on what is best for our children and not on us. But second fiddle isn't so bad. You have to play the second fiddle or you don't have any harmony. A great father will be willing to eat little humble pie occasionally so that he can play the second fiddle for the sake of the children. E, for example. Verse 31 tells us the father is also fair. "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." The father went outside and was talking to the pouting son. He told him not to worry because everything he had belonged to him. The father had already given the young boy his half, and he's sticking by his rules. The other half, or everything else the father owned, belonged to the eldest son, the one that stayed. But that does not mean he didn't love the other boy. He loved both sons with his entire heart, and he was willing to show the love in all he did. But he was also setting an example of fairness and honesty. The rule had already been written with the younger boy. Wanting his half up front. The father gave it to him, but that was it. The other half belonged to the other brother. And to the older brother, it would go. I think the lesson would be to have less, do as I say in our homes, and more, do as I do in our homes. We need to show our families that we are men of integrity. What we say one moment still applies in the next moment. We need to be more of an example than many of us have been in the past. Mickey Mantle, a great baseball player, his career ended with personal problems and alcoholism. During the last days of his life, he was plagued with problems and many things, and all this took a toll on him. In an interview shortly before his death, he said, "God has given me everything, but I squandered it all." Then, with tears in his eyes and a voice that trembled, he told the kids not to be like him. Let us be the good example now for our children so we don't have to settle for telling them, "Do not be like us." R for righteous. Verse 21 tells us how righteous the father was. The son said, "Father, I have sinned against God and done wrong to you." The R in father is probably the most important letter as far as the definition listed here is concerned. This father obviously taught his boys to have faith and belief in God. The son said he had sinned against God, and that shows that the father had taught his son well. And the seeds he had planted in his younger son finally sprouted and started to grow. The son realized his sinfulness, and he had enough inner strength to confess his sins and ask for forgiveness. Here is the sad confession of one father. "I took my children to school, but not to church. I enrolled them to Little League, but not Sunday school. I showed them how to fish, but not to pray. I made the Lord's Day a holiday and not a holy day. I gave them a color TV, but didn't give them a Bible. I had handed them the keys to the car, but not the keys to the kingdom. I taught them how I taught them how making a living, but failed to show them how to live for the single most important job a father can do for his children is to show to walk back to God. The single most important task you will ever have is to introduce your children to Jesus. Everything else you do for them will eventually end. But their relationship with Jesus will last an eternity. And the best way to help your children become men and women of faith is to let them see it in you. You need to be the best role model you can be. You need to live your life rightly and righteously so that your children can learn the same. Let me give you one really good information to remember. First, realize there's no perfect fathers except our Heavenly Father. Secondly, we can all be better dads if we will just do the things we need to do. And third, we cannot father alone. This is why we have other dads in our lives to learn from, and in some cases, to teach to. And being a good father means that you realize you cannot do this job by yourself without a woman in your life helping you to do it as well as you can. Your greatest work is not building a business or even a ministry. Your greatest work is building a Christian child. I want my kids to remember that Jesus they saw living in me. I want them to remember that things I did for them and how I taught them so they can do the same and teach the same to their children as well. We will only be able to do these things if we put Jesus first in their lives. And we will only be able to do that if we put Jesus first in our lives. Happy Father's Day.